Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to start this morning with some audience participation, if you don't mind. Give us a little bit of a mid-service stretch. So for this quick straw poll, please either stand if you need a lot of exercise or raise your hand if the following are true for you. How many of you had never heard of media literacy before you read about this talk? Not surprising. Okay. How many of you are still not sure exactly what it means? Yeah, okay. You're not alone. I'll try and clear that up for you. Besides me, how many of you lived a part of your childhood at a home without a TV? Mm-hmm. Now, how many of you currently have at least 5 screens in your house that can stream digital media? That would include smartphones, tablets, laptops, televisions, and computer monitors. And I live alone. How many of you have read at least 10 books in the past 12 months? Okay, keep your hand up if any of those books were read on a digital device. Some of you are still back in paper land, yay. How many of you use at least one social media platform? Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, WhatsApp. Keep them up if you use at least 3. All right. How many of you have tweeted in the last 48 hours? Keep your hand up if you tweeted at 3 a.m. in the morning. All right, just wanted to make sure you do. All right. We got one back there. He's not alone. Okay. And how many of you have created your own media? Films and videos, music, a blog or a social media post, graphics, news reports, editorials or letters to the editor, memes? Yay. Okay, good. Thank you so much for participating with me. The term media has come to be defined as the means of communication such as radio and television, newspapers, magazines, and the internet that reach or influence people widely. But as the plural of medium, it also refers to the multiplicity of ways in which something, anything, is communicated or expressed. I first discovered media literacy in the late 1990s when I was working as a prevention specialist in a nearby public high school. I remember the moment leaning against the railing outside my balcony office that overlooked the school's library media center. As I stood there wondering how else I could persuade these teenagers to make healthy choices when it came to what they put into and did with their bodies and minds, and what they did to the bodies and minds of others, that the bell rang to signal the end of the school day, and I watched as students streamed out of classrooms through the library to the front doors and poured out into the free world. Since that front entrance was all glass, I could see both sides of that transition, and I was struck with how many of the students reached into their pockets or their backpacks on their way out and immediately put earbuds or headphones into or over their ears. It was an aha moment for me, as I assumed they were tuning into their favorite music source, and I realized that at least some of that music was providing very different messages than those I'd been trying to provide about sex and drugs, and with a much better beat and bass line. That sent me to my friend Google to see what I could find out about what others were doing to address things like explicit or age-inappropriate content in recorded music and music videos and their effect on youth. That led me to media literacy and to my eventual mentor, Renee Hobbs, then at Babson College in Wellesley, Mass., and a spot in her coveted Felton Media Literacy Scholars Program. Once I glimpsed the wide world of media literacy through that course lens, I was hooked for life. It seemed so obvious and so aligned with what I'd been thinking and experiencing. We, and especially our young people, are no longer getting most of their information from books. So the literacy of reading and writing black squiggles on white paper needs to be replaced by the ability to access, analyze, evaluate, and create messages in all forms of the media they are using. And then to reflect on that process and act on the combined knowledge. We want our youth to be active users and creators of media, not just passive consumers of it. Over the 7 months of that course, we looked at the history, philosophy, and various motivations for media literacy. We explored our own love-hate relationship with modern media and technology. We looked into media economics and learned about visual aesthetics and media production processes. We delved into our current advertising and consumer culture, the politics of media violence, and the relationships between news and democracy, and between media and cultural identity. While I like the simpler labels, literacy for the 21st century or a 21st century approach to education, my favorite brief definitions of media literacy are making the invisible visible and paying attention to the man behind the curtain. It's really all about asking questions. And you know how you love questions. The five key questions to analyze any media message that we use at the Media Education Lab are: one, who is the author of this message and what is their purpose? Two, what techniques are used to attract and hold your attention? Three, what lifestyles, values, and points of view are represented in this message? Four, how might different people interpret the message? And five, what is omitted from the message? Some other individuals and organizations use 7 or 10 questions, but we feel those 5 usually suffice to get a good discussion going about what goes into the making of a media message, the making of meaning, both consciously and unconsciously. Our UU bylaws state, "Grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith, we are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision." I think media literacy can support both. And I think media literacy relates to and supports the 7 UU principles. Let's take a look. 1, we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. An aspect of media literacy is about looking deeply at cultural representations in the media and how they might influence attitudes and behaviors towards certain cultural groups, whether of age, gender, sexual orientation, ethnic group, or spiritual tradition, both negatively and positively. I'm a big believer in the phrase, "If you can see it, you can be it." And I think it's no coincidence that in the decade before Barack Obama's election, there were at least 10 black presidents depicted in mainstream popular culture. Or that TV shows and movies featuring LGBTQ characters eased the way for gay rights legislation. 2, we affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Besides cultural representation in the media, media literacy looks at emerging media issues like violent video game use and addiction, cyberbullying, sexting, and other social media use among youth. And practitioners in our field are often on the front lines of research on youth media use and its effects on their capacity for healthy relationships and qualities like empathy. 3, we affirm and promote acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. And we use media messages as well as personal and congregational relationships to do that. Our Black Lives Matter banner was a media message we decided to display to the outside world. Our standing on the side of love efforts are another of our public displays of affection for our fellow humans. And our welcome to all affirms and promotes that message here every Sunday and on our website. We have a Facebook page. Can a Twitter and Instagram account be far behind? Media production activities have often have students create messages about community efforts or causes that they support in the media environment their age groups inhabit. Perhaps our high school youth or Brown UU group could bring us even further into the 21st century so even more people can find acceptance and spiritual growth in our community here. 4, we affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. More questions, questions, questions. A century ago, the Reverend Louis B. Fisher, Dean of the Universalist Seminary at St. Lawrence University in New York, wrote, "Universalists are often asked to tell where they stand. The only true answer is that we do not stand at all. We move." That's still true for UUs today. Our religious identity is hard to pin down because we move and change as the times demand. As difficult and painful as those changes can sometimes be, we keep moving forward because we know that truth and meaning-making are dynamic, not static processes. I believe a free and responsible search for truth and meaning is also at the heart of media literacy, as well as an understanding of how truth can be distorted and how meaning is constructed. What better skills could education provide our children right now? And if you agree, there just happens to be a petition on a table in the breezeway nearby I'd like you to sign before you leave. Principle 5, we affirm and promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. Media literacy education and citizenship education are often linked, as they both provide essential knowledge and skills for full participation in our democracy. Media literacy lessons provide truth-seeking skills, and media production activities provide an opportunity for truth-speaking for all, including marginalized individuals and groups. Principle 6. We affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. It was that big picture view that led me first here to First UU and also to discover and later share the gospel of media literacy. I believe it is an essential skill for all to bring that view of world community into closer focus. Through the Media Education Lab at URI, which Dr. Hobbs founded at Temple University in Philadelphia and brought with her to URI some years back, we have been traveling the globe in recent years, spreading the word about media literacy and finding allies. They are out there, and they share our goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Lastly, we affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence, which we are a part. And now, a part of that web of all existence includes the World Wide Web. Well, that amazing tool that helps connect us in ways that many of us couldn't even have imagined in our youth be used more for ill or for good? The answer, as usual, is it's in our hands. And it's in our children's hands. Last year, this month, Governor Raimondo signed into law a bill requiring the Rhode Island Department of Education to consider integrating media literacy into the general education program. After a year of gathering ideas for implementation and presenting them to Rhode Island school superintendents for feedback this spring, our Media Literacy Now Steering Committee recently completed our report to RIDE and updated our website. We'll be meeting with people at the Department of Education soon and would greatly appreciate your support for this effort. The future is in our hands. It's in our children's and grandchildren's hands. Let's help make sure it's in the hands of media literate citizens. Thank you.